Father, we're grateful to be here, Lord, this morning, and asking, dear God, for your guidance through your word, Lord, this morning, that it would be a help and a strength, Lord, and an encouragement, Lord, to your people. We ask it, Lord, knowing that we will give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I want to read from verse 19 to 23. You might want to keep your Bibles there at that point for a while, because we'll go on into that, a little further into that chapter here after a little bit. Verse 19, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." Amen. You may be seated. It's quite a statement Paul makes here. And Paul's not making a statement as in to lift up himself, but Paul's making it humbly, but he's actually making it in a challenging sort of way that leaves those that were under his ministry would be left without excuse, because God allowed him to be all things to all men, to all those that were under him. And I found it quite striking that not only that to the Jews, a Jew, and those under the law, and those without the law, and so on. Not only that, but that he said, to the weak became I as weak. Became I as weak. And I wonder what that would mean. I became as weak to gain the weak. Would it not be having compassion on the weak? Would it not be having understanding on the weak? And how could you have compassion on something that you don't know anything about? God himself came down on earth and was made lower than the angels and became one of us, so that he would know what it was like. He wanted to know what it was like to be as man, to be as you are, to be as we are, so that he could be the author of our faith, and he could be the help that we would need in our times of temptations. So how much more would it be that man, in order to to be able to be all things to all men, that they would have to go through some experiences themselves. That doesn't mean now they'd have to do everything everybody else done, but they would struggle as you struggle. They would face times of where it felt almost hopeless, as you have felt hopeless. They would face times of when they didn't feel very holy, like when you don't feel very holy. Where they didn't feel very righteous, like when you don't feel very righteous. So they'd have to be someone to experience those things in order to be all things to all men. So they couldn't be a perfect person, because then they wouldn't be able to relate, because none of y'all are perfect. None of us are. Brother Branham said, there was a man that said, "I'm glad to meet you." This is in Be Not Afraid 63. He said, "I'm glad to meet you," and told me his name and said he was an Irishman too. And so somebody asked me one time, "What nationality are you, Brother Branham?" And I said, "I'm Irish. And if they can be saved, there's hope for the whole world." And he said, so he happened to be an Irishman also, and said, "I like the stories about hunting," and he said, "I like to hunt too." So, well, you have to be all things to all men, you know, that you might win some to Christ. He says again here in the Message of Desperations, he says, "And on the Lamb's Book of Life, I want my name wrote. I want him to remember me when the roll is called. And it throws me in great desperation. That is, like Paul said, after I preach the gospel, shall I be a cast off? It could happen, so it throws me into a desperate stage, desperation to think of, after all these years of preaching, could I, a place come where I would fail him? What's the next move? What must I do next? And it throws me into a nervous stage. And what can I do? It throws me to the mountains and the valleys. And it's hard, because when I'm with the people, I've got to be all things to all men, that I might win some to Christ, yet with the token always before me," see? So he's saying there was times when he would get to such a place he'd have to get off away from the people. Have some time away from the people, because as long as he was around all the people, he said, "I have to be all things to all men." But he needed a time. There was times he needed a rest from that, a break from that. And he said his nerves, he would get so nervous and then throw him into a nervous stage. And then he said, "It throw me into the mountains, into the valleys." And it's hard, he said, when I'm with people, I've got to be all things to all men, that I might win some to Christ. I'll tell you this humbly, a pastor has to be exactly like what Paul described here. And a pastor will have to go through things in order to have compassion. I'll tell you this, some years ago, I was trying to help an individual that was really having a bad battle mentally. And I couldn't understand it at all. And I tried to help him, but I was of the mind that you just don't let yourself think that way. I had the thought that, well, you just push on beyond that. And I got that from serving in the Army, where it was mind over matter. And you just, you just pushed beyond pain, you pushed beyond anything else, and you did things you didn't want to do because you were ordered to do them. You did things you hated to do, but you did them because you was ordered to do them. And you did them with everything that was within you if you wanted to survive. Now, and I had that type of mentality or thinking, and I didn't quite understand what it was like to have a mental battle, but now I do. And so I can look, and even though I can say I hated going through it, I can look now and I can say I needed to go through it. I'm glad I went through it. Why? Because it gives me compassion for people. Gives me understanding. Begin to understand how this body and mind and everything's all made up. And also begin to open to me just even more. When Brother Branham said the greatest battle ever fought was in the mind, said that's where Satan chose. It made me understand that even more. And I've experienced being weak, so I know what it's like to be weak. I've experienced being strong, so I know what it's like to be strong. And I've experienced being wrong, and I know what it's like to be wrong. And I can have compassion on others that are wrong. And know how to point them toward what is right. Let's go on down to verse 24. Still in 1 Corinthians 9. Know ye not that they which run in a race all run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, something how Paul goes from this one part, saying I've been all things to all men, then goes right into talking about running a race, so run that you may obtain. To me, makes me realize that Paul, as I said, was removing all excuse that anyone can have. In other words, they couldn't point at Paul and say, it's your fault. Now I know there'd be some anyway. They see a preacher or apostle like Paul, see him at a weak time, then they'd like to point their finger and say, see? That's why. Which I've got one scripture for that. Let he that's without sin cast the first stone. But then Paul goes from being all things to all men right into talking about that we're running a race, and he uses it as a type of what he's trying to get across, and so he types it with running a race. This as running a race for Christ, or running a race not of this world, but a spiritual race. And there's a starting point, and there's an end point or a goal in every race. Now, it's something that Paul, it says that they all run, but one receiveth the prize. In this statement, he's not meaning that out of all the Christians that run, only one's going to get a reward. But one people. One people will get a reward. And that follows throughout the scriptures. When you read in the book of Revelations, as John is writing to each church, he'll say, to he that overcometh, shall he have these things and such and so on. Brother Ram says here in the Smyrna Church Age, in the Church Age book, said, I will give thee a crown of life, since not even a cup of water given in the name of the Lord fails to receive a reward. How great shall be the reward to him who gives his life as a martyr for the name of the Lord Jesus? Perhaps we can get a small idea if we compare this crown with the crown won in a race. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. A crown given to the winner of the Olympic race was a garland of olive branches. But the crown spoken of here in the Revelations given to a martyr is the crown of royalty. Jesus calls it the crown of life. The one crown is for those who have striven, and the other is for those who have given. Both crowns are incorruptible. They will not perish. The winners of the worldly race of life will soon lose the joy of the plaudits of the world. Their glory will fail. But those who've given their lives for God, either by daily striving or shedding their blood as the crowning sacrifice of their lives, will be given the crown of life. Too little time is spent on laboring for eternal rewards of God. The recompense of God is too lightly esteemed. If we believe in the reality of the resurrection of the body and an eternal kingdom of substance, then we ought to lay up in heaven those good treasures that are available to the faithful saints. So here he began, Brother Branham is talking about the reward that is given for the race. And he says, not only to those, and we look at the martyrs, and of course we can see that, but he goes on to say, it's not just for that, but for those that by daily striving, that's what we do. I wondered when I was just a young boy, the first time I heard Brother Branham say that those martyrs, they would come up to us and ask us, how did you make it? Right. And I wondered at that for many years. How in the world could they say, how did we make it after what they had to face? Amen. But they had to face it once. They had to stand once. I'm not belittling what they've done, but just looking at why Brother Branham would say that. Whereas we have lived in an age where we've had it pretty easy. We got a lot of things that's real easy. You don't like the temperature in your house, why? Either turn on the air or turn on the heat. Open a window. If you don't like going to one store, why, you can go to another. If you don't want to grow a garden, you don't ever have to hoe a row. And yet, we've got it hard in that we're daily striving, fighting against the prince and powers of this air. Fighting against demons daily. who would like to lull us into a place of where we take things for granted. They'd like to lull us into a place to where, well, it's been this long, it's coming, it's probably going to be quite a bit more yet. They may have had some of them that they called brother or sister, that when it come time to give their life, maybe perhaps there was some that did recant. Those that they called brother or sister, they felt betrayed by them. But one time. Whereas one of the things we face in striving is sometimes we're thought bad of by those we call brother, by those we call sister. Sometimes we're spoken bad about by those that we call brother and sister. And that hurts. Somebody out here in the world says something about you, why you can, a lot of times you can just go right on past that. You know they don't know. Let somebody that supposedly goes to church, claims to believe what you believe, and through their not having understanding, they just speak some thought out of their mouth that they should have kept to themselves. And if the thought was so bothering them, they should have went on their knees and prayed about it. I believe it's like Brother Bram says, walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. If you can walk in somebody else's shoes, then you might understand what they're going through. We wouldn't be so quick to criticize. If we could just get that frame of mind, we wouldn't be so quick to criticize one another. I tell you, friends, I believe we're coming to a place to where in our assembly, it'll be to where there won't be one criticizing the other. Amen. That there'll be perfect love that will abound. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We won't be looking around at this one or that one's fault, but instead reaching our hands out to help one another along. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe it'll be that way in the bride. Right before the rapture comes, I believe it'll be that way. Brother Branham said there had come a time to where the only real love that would be left would be amongst the bride. In Revelation chapter 4, Brother Branham was preaching in 61. He said, oh my, do you see God declares himself? He loves to. He's Jehovah. He likes to make himself known. Oh, I'm so glad of it. Yes, sir. He made himself known to me. I know he has to you. Some of you young people just converted, yet you don't might not know him and the power and great things that the older Christians do. But you're coming right on into it. You're coming right up the King's Highway. Just keep looking and pressing just as hard as you can. Run, run, run just as hard as you can. Don't stop for nothing. Just keep on going. Run, 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 he said, just as hard as you can. Friends, we're at the end of this thing. It's coming to a close. Now ain't the time to fall off to the side. Now's the time to reach down and get that second burst of energy to finish this race. Hallelujah. And how do we do that? By taking encouragement from the Word. Now, I looked at what Brother Branham was talking about when he spoke about Paul saying that I myself should be a castaway. And I began to study on that to see what was, because I thought, as Brother Branham did in the quote that I read you, if I could preach and then come down to the end and be a castaway, Lord, I don't want that. I don't want that. I had a man tell me one time he was supposed to be a preacher. I don't know. I shouldn't have said it that way. He claimed to be a preacher. I don't know one way or the other. But he told me, said, when I come down to the end, he said, I'd like to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. He said, but I don't think he will. And I was sitting there eating lunch with this brother. And when he said that, it was just like I couldn't hardly finish eating. And I said, why would you say that, brother? He said, well, I just don't feel worthy enough. I said, well, that's different saying whether you feel worthy or not. Ain't none of us feels worthy. But if I felt like that at the end, friends, you say, is there any times in your walk of your life that you look and you might think, oh my, I don't know if he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. What would that do to you to have that thought? That would quicken something within you to say, look, let's take inventory. Let's see what's right. Let's see what's wrong. Let's get it right. But I, looking at that, and then I saw something here. Brother Adam says, what it takes to overcome all unbelief, our faith, preached in 1960. And he said, there's an old proverb, more than a proverb. No matter who is there first, you have to play by the rules of the game or you'll never win. If a runner is running around the track and one takes a shortcut and cuts through the field and beats the other one by half an hour, still he will be disqualified at the end of the race. He's got to play it according to the rules of the game or he's disqualified. Amen, and that's the way we have to do. The race of life that we're running now, it has to be played according to God's qualifications or we'll lose when we get there. See? It's not played according to God's qualifications if one of us, even preaching the word, but then in our own Christian walk, try to take a shortcut, then we'd be disqualified at the end. We'd be a castaway. He goes on to say, it has to be played according to God's qualifications or we lose when we get there. Whether we're president, whether we are the governor or a minister, or what church we belong to or what denomination, the rules of the game has to be kept. We must run it fair. We must play it by the rules. We must preach the word. We must do it willingly. Paul said in Hebrews 12th chapter, that seeing we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us, that we might run with patience the race that is set before us. Paul was speaking in the Olympics and so forth, that was in Greece and Rome and so forth. He knew that you had to play that game fair, for if you did not, you'd be disqualified. And tonight, as born again Christians, as believers here at the end time, we've got to play the game according to the rules. We've got to run with patience the race that's set before us, looking to the author and finisher, Jesus Christ. So we can't take a shortcut. If I was to try to take a shortcut in my own personal Christian walk, I know it might be difficult for some to understand, but there is a difference. In my own personal walk, I got to give an account in my own personal walk differently than what I do for the gift that God's placed in my life. The gift that God's placed in my life makes me responsible for other people. In my own Christian walk, I'm responsible for myself and for the witness of my life would be to others. But none of us can take any shortcuts. We got to run that we may obtain. Run just as hard as you can, the prophet said. I don't want to come down to the end and be disqualified. Amen. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and I want to begin reading at verse 10. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. What took me to this scripture was I was reading in the Smyrna Church Age where I'd read about the reward. Read about the crown and the reward, and I kept on reading. Brother Branham says here in Smyrna Church Age and Church Age books, says, I don't know how they do this. Is this page 137, paragraph 2? I don't know how they actually number these, but here it is anyway. The Smyrna Church Age said, that is what happened for our redemption. The Holy Ghost came upon Mary and she bore a son and called him Jesus. The great Creator came down and became a sacrifice for our sin. His blood was the blood of God. That is exactly what it was. That blood of God was shed and the Spirit left him as he died in agony. That same life, Spirit, came back to indwell the repentant sinner and set him free. That sinner did not come back year after year, sacrifice after sacrifice, for there was no need. By one sacrifice, once and for all, he has been set free from the dominion of sin and has received the life of Christ, whereby he reigns in victory over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember a time in my life when I would hear something read like that and there'd be a little voice say, yeah, but that ain't you. Amen. You haven't been set free. Look at all the things you do. In the Jubilee year, preaching Jeffersonville, Brother Branham says, once, for by one sacrifice, has he perfected forever those that are sanctified in Christ Jesus once for all. No more turning back, no more going this, no more doing that. Oh, you'll backslide and do things that's wrong and come on. But one time Christ sanctifies a human soul, by filling him with the Holy Spirit, it's perfected forever. Amen. Amen. And he goes on to say, there you are no more desired to do wrong. Right. We don't do wrong when we commit wrong. It ain't that we desire to do wrong. Times when, I've said before, anytime you stop moving forward, you're backslid. Right. There's times when we fail. We fail even ourselves. But it doesn't do away with the fact that that sacrifice was once and for all. Amen. Forever. There doesn't have to be another sacrifice for you. It's already been paid. It's all, the standard has already been met. The requirement for redemption, for your redemption, has already been met. Our redemption is complete. We're just waiting for, through time, this body to catch up with it. But I like this. He says, and their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Hallelujah, once and for all that sacrifice has been made. Oh, I tell you what, that ought to get that old monkey off your back. That ought to get the devil, when he's standing on top of your head, that ought to get him off there. Realize you've been set free. As the prophet said, set free once and for all. Hallelujah, free. And he said, and reign victory over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. Amen. We're reigning victorious. Hallelujah. Oh, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, I tell you, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friends, you and I, we might remember them. The devil will make sure we don't forget them. He'll bring it back to our minds. But what is that? That's the place where he fights the battle at. It's in the mind. So he'll bring it back to your memory, which is one of the gates of the mind. But in God's memory, it doesn't exist. God not only can forgive, but God can forget. And Brother Branham said, explaining that in one place, he said, you're justified. He said, it means just as if you never done it in the first place. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In order, he said, we have victory over the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I believe, as I get ready to close, let's think on where I took my text. It isn't only for Apostle Paul to be all things for all men, but I believe that each one of us as saints, we ought to take these things into consideration. We ought to think on this before we get to a place where we look down our nose at somebody else or criticize somebody else or think something bad. The first thing we ought to think of is, you know, if they're weak, can I be as weak that I might gain the weak? Amen. Huh? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word today. Lord, we thank you for the power and anointing in which it came, Lord. I ask God that may, Lord God, that it would stay upon our hearts and our minds, Lord. For, Lord, these things are true sayings of the Lord. They are true. They are yea and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. I pray, God, that may, Lord, that we keep these things ever near, dear to us. Lord, that we run this race that we might obtain. And, Lord, that we realize we've got victory over the devil. Lord God, because you don't remember our sins or iniquities no longer. Hallelujah, but we've been cleansed once and for all. And help us, Lord, to look out for our brothers and sisters, Lord. To help them, Lord, when they're down, Lord. Not kick them further, but Lord, give them a hand up. Lord, bless your people, Lord, I pray. We ever give you the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
I'm glad that you
sing Jesus, I'm My Pardon.
Jesus, I'm My Pardon. This I surely know. He took my place on Calvary. Now I don't have to go. All my life I gave away. He gave it for me. When He signed my body there at Calvary.